We're certainly glad to have Teen Challenge with us here today, and we've been looking forward to this for several months. Actually, it takes about 6 months to get a booking with this group, so we're glad that they're here today. When they arrived yesterday, interesting, enough, when they arrived yesterday, Remy, the director, came in. He introduced all the guys, and one of the guys, Corey, was just kind of looking at me strangely. And I noticed that he kept kind of looking at me strangely. And I looked at Corey, and I said, something familiar about Corey. Anyway, so finally, when we got downstairs and got talking and had the meal, found out that Corey was in the Teen Challenge program in Saskatchewan, where we hosted them on different occasions. So it was really quite interesting to kind of put everything together. So we got to talk and reminisce about different guys in the program and whatnot. So that was a really good experience for us. And so we're glad that they're here. Remy's going to come up, and he's going to share about the program. And then three of the guys are actually going to come up today and tell their stories and how Christ has set them free from addiction. So, Remy, if you want to just come right up, this is Remy Lagasse, and he's the director of Teen Challenge Atlantic, and they're going to take over here right now and share with us the ministry that God has given them. Remy, blessings.
Praise God. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yeah. Amen. I know I am. I always get excited when I get in the house of the Lord. And this is the first time, Pastor, that I've been with Teen Challenge for close to 6 years now, and we've been to different churches all over Atlantic Canada, and that's what we do. We go around telling the good news, telling that Jesus is still in the miracles. Am I on? Yeah? Okay. I'm a very well disorganized kind of guy, so don't worry about it. But this is the first time that we end up going to a church, and we have to sit up in the back of the pews. I never had that happen to us before. Usually when we go to church, it's like the first six pews are empty. And we come in, we put our Bibles there and our suitcase there, and we're all set. And this morning I put my suitcase there, and somebody grabbed it and threw it somewhere else. I could. No. I'm joking. But that is great. When you go to a church, and the church is packed of people, and this is a fun crowd. I mean, I've been to some churches, Jeff, that, whoa. Halfway through the service, I was looking if somebody was burning down my vein or something. You know, because, no, but I love to have fun. I love to have fun. Because when you have Jesus Christ in your life, you get excited. There's something that happens inside of us that makes us happy and we're excited. And when people look at us, they see Christ. I think that's the whole thing, you know. Like, I don't know about you. No, okay. Who was the guy who was up here a while ago and forgot the name of the song? Is he gone? I'm in this position. That's who I am. I forget stuff, right? I'm French, so I was a drug addict, so a lot of cells are burnt, so I get all confused. And what happens is that I got everything up there in French, and I try to do that translation in English, and it just doesn't work. But before I even go any further, I just want to make sure that I thank some people here this morning. I'd like to thank Diane and Stuart for letting me sleep at your beautiful cottage. That was awesome. I even had some extra friends with me during the night. And Stuart says, he's not even going to charge me for that. Some squirrels. They kept me up all night. I think they were having their own prom party or something. I don't know. Bernie and Val and Trevor and Shelley for opening up their homes, for taking the guys home last night to give them a place to sleep and rest it and talk to the guys this morning, and they enjoyed it. So that's about it. That's my sermon. No. My name is Remy Legacy. I'm the director for Teen Challenge. We're situated in Memramcook, New Brunswick, which is about 20 minutes east of Moncton, New Brunswick. We have a facility there for 25 men. We have 18 acres of land. We're a faith-based organization. We have no government funding whatsoever. We live on faith and on faith alone. We live on donations. We go to the food bank twice a week. And the food we receive at the food bank is exactly what we eat at Teen Challenge. But we are blessed with some churches all over Atlantic Canada that will come and give us some food as they go by. There's some people that travels from Halifax all the way down to Memramcook to bring us 2 dozen of eggs and 3 bags of milk. We have some people that comes all the way from Woodstock that brings us half a beef. We have some people from Woodstock that brings us some chicken. We have some people from Halifax And that brings us cheese. Because when you go to the food bank, you don't get milk, you don't get cheese, you don't get meat, you don't get fish, you don't even get salt and pepper. All you get at the food banks are expired cookies and dented cans. And lots of Kraft dinner. And I hate Kraft dinner. The guys know that, man. I just hate Kraft dinner. And I know I shouldn't use the word hate, but I just don't like Kraft dinner. So the only time that the guys are having Kraft dinner at Teen Challenge is on Monday, because usually I take my Mondays off. So then the guys are having Kraft dinner. But surprisingly, sometimes I do come to the center on Mondays, and they all look at me and say, "What are you doing here? We're having Kraft dinner." Like it's a curse, and everybody knows that, right? But God is good. God is great. And who believes in miracles? Amen. We're here to tell you this morning that Jesus is still in the miracle business. Jesus is still changing people's lives. I have four guys here with me this morning. We have another 11 guys at the Teen Challenge in Remnant Cook, where God is grabbing a hold of them and starting to change their life from the inside out. And what that means from the inside out is that when God comes into your life, He changes you from the inside. It starts to work with your heart. Conviction comes in and starts telling us of the wrong things that we're doing in our lives. And all of a sudden, as we get closer to God and God is still working inside of us, we start to change on the outside appearance. Probably some of you people don't understand that, but I'll try to do this and try to get a picture of it. And these guys know where I'm coming from, and these guys know when I'm having fun, right? Now, we have guys that come to Teen Challenge with their hat locked sideways, right? We've seen this. And then they walk down the hallways with their pants down here. Do you have that here? Yeah. And they're coming in, and they're walking like this, right? Right? So, if there's any young people here that wants a career, go to be a physiotherapist. I'm telling you, you're going to make a fortune in about 10 years from now, because all these hips are going to be, just look at me. I'm going to be 40 years old to be walking with walkers, you know? So they come to Teen Challenge, and then they find Christ, and then Christ comes into their life and changes them. And then there's a sudden change inside of them, right? The vocabulary is starting to change. The cursing and the swearing is stopping. Start to have respect. And all of a sudden, their hats are starting to be straight. And all of a sudden, their pants are starting to go up. They're starting to wear belts. Right? And then they're walking in the center like godly people, because God has changed them from the inside out. I'm not saying there's some young kids here today because they wear their hat sideways and their pants are down here. They're not Christian. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying that they don't know Christ. We also have to realize because we come to church, it doesn't make us Christians. Just because we go to Tim Hortons doesn't make us RCMPs either. And I realize there's no Tim Hortons here. I had to go to Double D to have a coffee. Great coffee. That was awesome. So that's what it's all about, right? I love to have fun. I should have been a comedian, I know. Praise God. Anyone here this morning never heard of Teen Challenge before? Oh, awesome. There's a few. Everywhere we go, all over Atlantic Canada, we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we go to churches, and people never heard of Teen Challenge. I'll have to give you a little background of Teen Challenge. Started by a young man called David Wilkerson in 1958. He was a young man in the country church in Pennsylvania. I want to make sure my guys are, because they're way far back there, guys. Don't walk away on me, okay? Usually they're right there, right? In Pennsylvania, am I correct? Right. He had a small country church in Pennsylvania, him and his wife, Gwen, a young pastor. The congregation loved him. The community loved him. He had a great time there. He just built a new church. Gwen was praying for their first child. And David Wilkerson was spending some time in prayer and asking God for direction in his life. And God's Holy Spirit came down upon David one night and started speaking to him, started dealing with him on the inside out. And God spoke to him and told David Wilkerson to shut off his TV. Now, I'm not here this morning to say that we should all shut off our TV. That's not the point. I got to give you the story straight here, right? So you have to realize in 1958, the TVs were black and white and three channels on it. And David Wilkerson spent too much time in front of the TV. Nowadays, we have 80-inch flat-screen TV, 1,000 channels. We got about 60 remote controls to flip all these channels all over the place. Right, so David Wilkerson sold his TV and spent more time on his knees and asking God for direction in his life. And after 19 days of prayer and fasting, David Wilkerson opened up the Time magazine and seen on the front page of the Time magazine there were six young teenage boys that were charged for murdering a young handicapped boy in downtown New York. God's Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of David Wilkerson and says, you have to go down there and help these young men. After a while, making sure that everything was okay and talking to the congregation and the board members and his wife, David packed his suitcase and drove down to New York, didn't have a clue where he was going, never been to the big city before. He was a country boy. He found out where the court case was, walked into the courtroom, very high security. You have to realize this is 1958. And then he couldn't even get into the courtroom. They were holding him back. And once the judge sentenced the six boys to go to prison for life, David Wilson walked into the courtroom and started talking to the judge, and the judge kind of kicked him out of the courtroom. So David Wilkerson was walking back and forth in the foyer with his Bible and asking God if it was really God that had called him to New York, wondering if it was true. What was he doing? Doubt started coming to his mind. As he was walking back and forth and praying, there's a reporter there from the New York Times that seen David Wilkerson, and he says, excuse me, I've seen you walking back and forth. Who are you? He says, I'm Pastor David Wilkerson, and God has called me here. So the reporter says, can I take a picture of you? And he said, yes, I can. Yes, you can. So he says, can I take a picture of you holding your Bible up? And that's exactly what he had done. David Wilkerson held his Bible like this, and the picture was taken. Now, David Wilkerson was still doubting God and asking God if it was right that he was there. So David Wilkerson jumped in his car and drove to downtown New York and praying and asking God, Holy Spirit, to guide him, to direct him. So David Wilkerson ended up in the Bronx of New York, middle of the night, didn't know where he was going. So he finally parked his car and says, well, Lord, I got to sleep. So David Wilkerson went to sleep in his car that night. Next morning, he woke up and started walking up and down the streets. And as he was walking, he met teenagers, street gangs. He met them. And he walked up to them. And one of the young guys in the gang went up to him and said, hey, you're the preacher man, right? And David says, yeah, I am. He says, you're one of us, right? And David Wilkerson said, what do you mean I'm one of you guys? Well, he says, you know, usually we're on the front page of the New York Times. This morning, he says, you're on the front page of the New York Times. So now we're brothers. And that's exactly how the ministry started. Because David Wilkerson took time on his knees and asked God for direction in his life. And there was a young man there in that gang that looked at David Wilkerson's shoes and says, I really love your shoes. And David Wilkerson took off his shoes and gave it to him. And that's where the ministry of Teen Challenge started. Because one man was obedient to the voice of God. One man spent time on his knees and asking God for direction in his life. And just imagine, Pastor, what would happen if all of our church's members would shut off their TV at least 1 hour a day and spend time on their knees and asking God for direction. What would happen? And by doing that, as we speak today, there are 16 centers right across Canada, over 1,000 centers in 92 different countries, over 25,000 beds that helps young men and young women that have drug and alcohol addiction. Because one man was obedient to the voice of God. One man spent an hour a day on his knees and asking God for direction in his life. And the people's lives are being changed and transformed. If we start doing that in our churches today, our churches would be packed solid. And this one is packed solid. But you wouldn't only have a service on Sunday morning. You'll have one on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and probably four on Sunday morning. If we're all obedient to the voice of God and spend time on our knees and asking God for direction. That's what it's all about. And I'm not saying people here are not prayers. That's not what I'm saying, Pastor. Because I'm convicted myself also. I don't spend enough time on my knees asking God for direction for my life. The things of the world are there to take it over. Teen Challenge is a ministry that was born in prayers, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is energized by evangelism, is infused with the blood of Jesus, is marked by God's presence, it's known for miracles, and is sustained by God's grace. Teen Challenge is a place where hope lives, freedom is found, and lives are changed because of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one that changes people's lives. It's not Teen Challenge. It's not a program. It's not the church. It's not the pastors. It's not the board members. It's Jesus Christ that comes into your life and changes you on the inside out. Amen? Praise God. That's what it's all about. Man, I'm looking at the time here. I got lots to say. I got lots of energy to give out there. So if you have a roast in your oven, don't worry. You're making a love offering to the Lord, a smoke offering to the Lord. Don't worry about it. Or a burnt offering to the Lord. Don't worry about it. It's going to be a little bit crispy on the side, but that's going to be okay. Right? Because the roast is going to be changed from the inside out. You know, hallelujah. Praise God. I have four guys who are there with me. Well, you already done that, but I'll do it anyway. I have Steve, Corey, and Steve. Me and my other brother, Daryl. You know, it doesn't always happen like that. It's just like we picked up the guys, and the guys have to be 4 months in the program or above to come to a program. And Corey, well, the other Corey, you wouldn't know who I'm talking about, but the other Corey, he's been with the program for about 2 months, and we made an exception because the other two guys that were supposed to come here are in the program about 4 months, but they're on discipline. Yeah, they can't come, so we had to make an exception. And the people that was going to take six guys in here, that's the reason we end up with four. That's the reason why, because some guys don't really want to follow the rules and regulations at Teen Challenge, so they become their discipline. Teen Challenge is a phenomenal program. It's a 12-month residential program. The guys are in there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The guys come in voluntarily, and they leave voluntarily. What that means, we have some guys that come to the Teen Challenge program. They do the application. They're all excited to come into the program. And then they sit in my office and say, well, what do you mean this is a Christian program? I didn't read the application. Yeah, but I didn't quite understand it. So they decide to leave. Or some guys will come into the program about 3 months into the program, and they will decide to leave. And it's always the same story when they come to my office. I got it. I'm doing it for my wife and my kids. I feel that I'm okay now. I want to go back to the world and the community and to society. And what I give them as an answer is, no, you're leaving because you want another fix. Because Teen Challenge is a 12-month program. If God is calling you a Teen Challenge, he's calling you for 12 months. If God is calling you to be a pastor and you have to go to university for 4 months, you can't go there for 6 months and say, okay, I'm a pastor now. It doesn't work that way. If God has called you to be a pastor, and if to be a pastor is 4 years or 6 years, you go there and do it 4 and 6 years. So if God calls you into ministry, make sure you go all the way with it. Don't go halfway with it. I had a guy that came in on Thursday evening at 4:30 in the afternoon, and at 8:30 Friday morning comes through my office, all excited. I said, wow. He says, I got it. I said, you got it. What you got? He says, I got it. I know what to do now. I'm leaving. I says, great, go and tell the other 14 guys that they only have to be here for 24 hours. He said, the reason why it's a 12-month program, I divide it in three different sections. The first 4 months of the program is to find the root of the problem. The next 4 months of the program, we tell these young men, you're a good guy. You're a great guy. God loves you. You just were at the wrong place at the wrong time. You made the wrong decision. And the last 4 months of the program, we help them to return back to the community and into society. Our goal at Teen Challenge is three things. Number one, when they leave Teen Challenge program, they're godly men. Number two, to become godly husbands. And number three, to become godly fathers. If we could get those, when the guys leave Teen Challenge, our work is being done at Teen Challenge. We have a lot of guys that graduate from Teen Challenge, that come to Teen Challenge, who are drug addicts, had no hope in life, but they find Jesus, and there's hope to Jesus Christ. They come to Teen Challenge and their lives are being changed and transformed from the inside out. When they come to Teen Challenge, I have some guys that has graduated from Teen Challenge. They go to Bethany Bible College. They go to Briarcrest Bible College. They go to different colleges right across Canada. And they become to be pastors. That's what it's all about. And I tell the guys at Teen Challenge, you don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to be a pastor to be a godly man. If you're working at Tim Hortons or you're a CEO for a huge company and you give all the glory to God, you're doing his work. We don't all have to be pastors. It's a tough job. Praise God. Steve, the first Steve, roll over there. Come on, I'll have Steve come up and give his testimony. And right after Steve, I have the other Steve come up and give his testimony. How's that? Then so people will understand. And right after that, I'll talk more about Teen Challenge, about numbers and success rate and so forth and so forth. And then we'll have another testimony, and then we'll hopefully we'll be able to close up. And it's great to be here. I love the Lord. I get excited. And this, I'm being pretty quiet this morning, eh? Not bad, eh? And I think the reason why, because I never had a Tim Horton coffee. I'm joking. Actually, I'm not a big Tim Horton coffee kind of drinker. The guys know that. And the guys are... Sorry, Steve. I do this to these guys all the time. Have a seat. No. Play a tune or do something. Right? A little dance.
I think you're doing quite well on your own. All right, bro.
See, the guys drink one coffee a day at Teen Challenge. One coffee a day, imagine. One coffee. Shout out to drink. So when we come on outreaches like this, I stop at Tim Hortons in there and out to have a small coffee. That's a blessing for these guys. And these guys know when I have a small coffee, when I'm all done, there's always that much coffee inside of it. I don't really like Tim Horton coffees. I don't. But it's just something that, it's a habit. What was that? And how are you getting home tonight?
Well, that's true. I leave a lot of my coffee in my cups. I have a coffee in my office, and it's not a Tim Horton. I don't have a Tim Hortons at Teen Challenge, but when I have a coffee in me, I usually don't drink half of the cup because it's really just a habit. Sometimes that's what we do in life. It's a habit. When we go to church sometimes, it's a habit. Let's try to change that habit and come to church because we want to know more about Jesus Christ. We want God to come into our life and change us from the inside out and do a lot more in the community and society. Let's stop doing the church as a habit and do something real good about it. Amen? All right, Steve. You nervous enough now?
I'm good about the next
one. All right, where's my water? Okay. Where's that?
You're all right with
that? Yeah, go ahead.
First of all, I want to thank you for having us here today. It's our privilege and pleasure to be here, and I'd like to thank Bernie and Val for having us last night. It was very nice to see a beautiful property and have a nice fellowship with you last night. My name's Steve, and I'm 48 years old, and I grew up in a small town in northern Nova Scotia. I came from a good home, and I'm the second youngest of 10 children. We were raised in a good home and believed in God, and church was a big part of our upbringing. From the time, though, I was a small child, I always remember being very shy and having low self-esteem. I found it very hard to interact with people. I turned to sports as an escape, and this led me hanging around with the older boys in the neighborhood in the town. And by the age of 12, I had my first beer, and I knew I had immediately a new best friend. As my teen years continued, drinking became a lot more frequent and soon took hold of my life. After high school, I entered the workforce, and nothing really changed. Drinking became my way of coping with life. When I was 20 years old, I met a young lady. She was 16 and in grade 12, and we started dating. The next year, she started university in Halifax, and she went there for 6 years. So every weekend, I would go to Halifax, and the college scene soon became my way of life, even though I wasn't attending. Through those years, the church and God were slipping out of my life, and then drinking became my way of life. But 2 years after she graduated, we were married, and in the next 4 years, we had two beautiful children. We both had good jobs, had a nice home, but my drinking habits never changed, except for maybe getting worse. I tried different visits to rehabs, but nothing really seemed to work. So after 10 years, our marriage was over. Also, during those years, I lost both my parents. So life as I knew it didn't really have much meaning anymore. Without my family and feeling like a failure, the next 9 years of my life went by with me always seeming to hold on to that beer bottle. I finally lost my job after 20 years. My relationship and my children, and one of my brothers passed away due to complications of alcoholism. The only bright spot was that I became very close with a young lady and she with me. Even though our love was growing, my addiction was putting a heavy strain on our relationship and we separated at different times. I really needed some help. So with the help and prayers from Tracy, I landed at Teen Challenge on December 2nd, 2011. Since coming to Teen Challenge and allowing God back into my heart, things are starting to change. Thanks to the help and guidance from the staff and the life coaches and my fellow students at Teen Challenge, our time spent in devotions in chapel and classroom and worship, and my one-on-one with my life coaches really helped me see that God is the biggest part of my life, and He still has plans for me. Through answered prayers, some of my broken relationships are starting to be restored, and I now have a healthy and enthusiastic excitement to see what God has planned for my future. A verse I like to relate back to in times of need is Isaiah 41:10. And it goes, "Don't be afraid. I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. I thank you and God bless."
Well, hi. My name's Stephen. I'm the other one, so. We originally had three, but the other one left, so it was kind of hectic having three of them, because they'd be like, Stephen, and you'd be like, which one? So, but I'm originally from Nova Scotia, Annapolis Valley, Port Williams, so it's kind of nice to be home. I consider anywhere that I come to Nova Scotia, especially when it's small country, is home to me. So I just want to thank you, Trevor, and I think Sheila, is it? Shelly, my bad. So just thank you for bringing us into your home. Really had a good time and just enjoyed myself. So I'm 21, and this is my story. I was raised in a Christian home, and both my parents are pastors, and this had both a positive and negative effect on my life. I thought it was cool to have a dad and a mom that, you know, knew God and were pastors and stuff like that, and I'd go to church, and they'd be up there, and then, you know, go home with the pastor. So I always thought that was pretty neat, but the negative side was I didn't really have one-on-one time with them. They were always either busy with their church work or with their normal work, and I really didn't get to see that much of them. And kind of really wanted just to do the things that I normally would do with, you know, my dad, like play catch and stuff like that. I never really got that opportunity. My dad had anger issues. He never struck us or my mom, but there was a lot of yelling, a lot of slamming doors, and just anger over the smallest things. And it really bothered me because I felt I couldn't tell him anything without him. Because he'd get mad, he'd get angry. And, I just learned to keep things to myself. I love him now a lot. And, you know, I'm still working on things. And it's not always the best, but we're getting through it. And, you know, I'm just really coming to respect my dad now. And throughout my whole school life, I was bullied, by anyone and everyone. And I never talked to my parents about it because I was afraid of what my dad would do or what he would say. So I learned to just, like I said, keep my feelings to myself and just not talk to anyone and just try to carry it on my own. And, you know, I knew God, but I never really, you know, thought that he could help me with that, so I didn't turn to him. But by the age of 10, I accepted Jesus into my heart and I started my walk with him, even though it was only head knowledge. I didn't have a personal relationship with him and didn't know him that way. By the age of 12, I was molested by one of my brother's friends. And then also at the age of 12, my parents divorced. And this really affected me. At the age of 13, I tried my first cigarette, but really didn't like it. And by the age of 16, I tried to commit suicide twice. But friends had stopped me before I got to each time. I was lonely most of my high school years. Didn't really have any friends. The only friends I did have were one or two. And I didn't even really hang out with them at school. It was usually after school and stuff like that. So I spent most of my time on the computers, and that led to a 2-year pornography addiction that, I guess just by the grace of God, he helped me get out of, and I'm very thankful for that. At this age, I started to rebel against my mother. I had resentment towards because of the divorce and everything that happened there, and by the age, it was either 16 or 17, I joined the local fire department, and I fell in love with it. I felt valued and I felt accepted for the first time, and I just, you know, it came to me naturally. But the influences that were there were leading me away from God. I started to doubt him more. I started to just walk away from the little faith that I had, and I started to indulge in the influences that were there. As I say, I never blamed any one of them because it was always my choice. But I started drinking. I started smoking more there. But as I said, as I was getting better at firefighting, I was falling from God more. I graduated high school, luckily, and even though I decided to take a year off, I went right into college. And around this time, I started working at a local restaurant, and that's where I was introduced to marijuana. I had tried it a few times before during school, but never really took to it, I guess. I didn't really have time for it, and didn't really have the draw at that time. It wasn't until I was fighting with my mom, dealing with the past hurts and just everything that came along with it, and losing a close friend to my stupidity and anger, that I asked my coworkers if they were going to get high that night, and obviously they said yes, so I joined in. And this led to me looking forward to work because I knew before work, after work, I could get high, and then as I gained a little more trust before work and a little more during work, and then eventually because of the late nights and not doing homework, I failed college and just started a downward spiral of smoking it all day. There was nothing to hold me, nothing to be accountable to, so I just did whatever I wanted. The only times I was happy in that part of my life was when I was high. Just no joy, no happiness outside of it. This continued on for 2 years. And I lost my grandfather about a year ago. And he lived in the hospital for about 2 weeks. And my family, we signed up to make sure that he was never alone during those times. And Saturday night, I had signed up to stay with him. This had been probably the third or fourth time I did. And that night, I decided to get high and drunk with friends instead of being with him. And he passed away that night. And I lost the last chance of saying goodbye to my grandfather. And that's really weighed heavy on me. I always hated myself for it because I felt that he wanted me, you know, he would want me to be there instead of being so selfish and doing what I wanted. But my life coach has helped me see that he's probably, or he is, happy that I'm here in Teen Challenge getting my life fixed. And I've really taken to that, and it's been helping me. But after losing him, I started heavily drinking and smoking more. And then I go to a Christian camp I go to each year in Berwick, and the only reason I went was because my mom paid for me. And I went there, and that's where I first heard about Teen Challenge, and that's where I knew I needed to be. Since I've been there, I've learned to trust God with everything. I've been giving over my past hurts, my anger, forgiving the people that have hurt me, forgiving my family, and starting a very slow process, but starting to get to know them and just rebuild trust in the relationship. And just the staff there has been great, and I've just learned to really just trust God with everything and give it all to him. And I can't do it on my own, and I need him every day. But one thing I like to say is if I never went through what I went through, I wouldn't have and seek the relationship that I have with Jesus right now. And I wouldn't trade anything in the world for it. And a verse that I like to hold close to my heart is Psalms 34, 4-6. And as I prayed to the Lord, and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. In my desperation, I prayed, and the Lord listened. He saved me from all my troubles. Thank you for listening.
Jesus is still in the miracle business. When we have guys that come to Teen Challenge and they're struggling with their lives, and even a Christian, most 65% of the young men that come to Teen Challenge come from a Christian home. 65% of the young men that come to Teen Challenge come from a Christian home. The enemy is there to destroy the closest things to our hearts, and that's our children. The success rate at Teen Challenge, 5 years after they graduated, what that means is 5 years after they finished a program of 12 months, 5 years after they graduated from Teen Challenge, over 70% of them are still clean from drugs and alcohol. The government program gives you between the same kind of time, between 5 and 8% success rate. The government charges you between $3,000 and $4,000 a month. We charge $1,000 a year. We're not in for the money. We're in to see people's lives being changed and transformed to Jesus Christ. And the guys know that. Some guys that calls me up, I was talking to a guy yesterday, matter of fact, in Milton before we left here. He was worried that he didn't have the money to come to Teen Challenge. I said, don't worry about that. My biggest concern is that you come to the program and you find Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and your life is being changed and transformed from the inside out. That's what it really matters to me. I have a heart for lost souls. When I drive in our cities, everywhere as I go, I see young kids on the side of the street smoking and drinking and partying. And there's any young people here this morning that think you have everything under control, I'm here to tell you you don't have anything under control whatsoever. If you're sitting there saying, well, Remy, you don't understand, right? I mean, I could smoke a joint, and I could smoke a cigarette, I could have a pint of beer, and I'm okay. But I'm here to say you're not okay. The reason why, because I've been there. I know what it is. Our school system today is horrible. I have a 15-year-old daughter now, but when she was 11 years old and going to school, and some kid went up to her and asked her if she wanted to buy a marijuana. She was 11 years old, and she looked straight at him, and she says, you don't know what my dad does for a living now, do you? We went to the French high school in Moncton, New Brunswick, which is the biggest high school in French high school, I think, in New Brunswick, in Moncton. went to a French high school and a public school. There's no Christianity there. I would say 95% of the people don't know God as their Lord and Savior, as their personal relationship with them. And we walk in there with three guys from Teen Challenge, English organization, and we go up there and we talk about Teen Challenge. I do all the French talking, of course. And these guys get up there and they give their testimonies in English and they hang on to their Bible and they open up the Bibles in front of the kids and read scriptures in them. Wow! That's what it's all about. Continue praying for our young people in our churches. I don't know if you have a youth group here or not. I imagine you do. And you should be involved with your young people of your church. And it's simple. I'll use this as an example. If there's an outreach in Halifax, which is what? Two and a half hour drive from here. And you have some kids in your community or in your church that wants to go and they haven't got the funds. You should be the first one to stand up and say, I will support that young person. And then when the youth pastor comes up here and says, you know, we have 25 young people or 50 young people who have no transportation. And some of the people in here this morning that are in the senior age have a brand spanking new van with leather seats and DVD players inside of them. And nobody ever sat in the back seat. Well, guess what? Be the first one to say, I will drive some young kids. I don't mind them putting ice cream on my seats. I don't mind them putting popcorn on my seats. It's okay. You know why? Because I'm doing it for the Lord. Let's wake up, people, and start doing things for the young people in our churches and the young people in our community. You know, you're looking at people going down the street sometimes and say, well, they're drug addicts, they're bad people. You know, we're not only talking about drugs and alcohol, we're also talking about pornography and gambling. There's a lot of that going on around in our churches, too. So we're no better than anyone else. What we have to do, we have to make sure that our hearts is right with Jesus Christ. And there's someone here this morning that hasn't got his heart right with Jesus Christ. I'm hoping that today, before you leave the sanctuary, you'll make that commitment to the Lord. Let him grab a hold of your life and let him change it. Don't try to change it on your own. Don't expect the pastor to change your life. Don't expect Reuben Legacy to change your life. But expect Jesus Christ to change your life. That's what it's all about. It's Jesus to come into your life and change you. Praise God. Amen. That's what it's all about. So today, hopefully, they're going to go out there and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because you know what? Because if we don't do it, who else is going to do it for us? The Bible tells us in Luke that the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about us. We are the laborers. And we have to go out there and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the harvest. There's many people out in our community that don't know God. And the day that they're going to die, they're going to face on with God. And he's going to judge them. When I go to heaven, when I die, it's going to happen soon one day, one way or the other, like it or not. One day I'm going to go to heaven, because I know where I'm going. That's why I'm saying that, right? I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. When I'm going to meet my master, I'm going to meet my creator, I'm going to meet my Lord and my Savior, he's not going to ask me, tell me about your testimony. Or which church are you going to? Or which denomination? Or what kind of Bible verses? What the Bible you're reading? Is it NIV or King James or Amplified? He's not going to ask me anything of that. He's going to ask me what I have done for him. What have you done for me? Because the Bible tells us, oh, well, I cast demons out of your name. And he said, I don't even know you. So people, I'm hoping today, you will take 30 seconds to reflect on what are we doing for God. And I'm not saying going out there in the street corner like I did when I first got saved in 1979. I was a drug addict and alcoholic and tried to commit suicide three times. Ended up in a mental institute. I was a mess. I found Jesus. Whoa! Think I'm excited now? Whoa! And I will drive my car and just park on the side of the street in Bathurst. I'm right on Main Street. Yay! Right on Main Street, right next to Zeller's, you know, right at the corner there. And get out of the car and take my Bible and say, you're all going to hell. What's wrong with you people? You know, that was the wrong way of doing it. I was scaring people away. Right? And I went to our tavern one day. Imagine. I went into our tavern. And the pastor almost killed me the next day, but that's okay. I went to the tavern and started rebuking everyone that was in there. That was not a good way of doing it. And the security guys kind of guided me out of the tavern. You know, it was a kind of fight, but I was okay. I mean, I was a Christian. I found God. You got to know God. Not a good way of doing it. I learned real fast. Love. We got to love one another. We got to love our neighbors. We got to love our enemies. We got to love the people that surround us. And you know what happens sometimes? We don't like the people that sit next to us in the church. And if we can't, the Bible tells us, if we can't love, if we can't love our brothers, we can't love him. Am I correct by saying that, Jeff? Is that the way it is, right? So if you can't love the people that sit next to you, how can you love the people that's out there? Let's start loving one another first. Let's supporting and help one another first. And then let the gospel of Jesus Christ go through us. Let us spread the gospel of Jesus Christ out there. Let there be changes from the inside out. Happens to all of us. Amen? Praise God. Where am I? Whoa, okay. Hallelujah. Corey, come on up. Right after Corey, I'll talk a little bit more, and then I'm going to have a DVD, and I'm going to have their offer. Don't worry, I'm coming after your money. You're supposed to laugh. Yeah! We're giving our money away. Yay! Never seen that yet, but one day I'm hoping that when I say I'm going to take your money away, and everybody's going to run up like an altar call. I don't think that's going to happen, but well, you never know. You never know, right? We have a memory cook. My heart has been crying, and I've been praying that we will open up a center for ladies. And our home office in London, Ontario, has given me the okay to start looking to open up a ladies center in the Halifax area. So keep that in prayer. You know, when you have no government funding, and you're living on donations and donations alone, it's pretty hard to get something going. Except prayer and faith. You pick it up and you say, let's go for it. There's a lot of lost souls out there. You know what I usually do when I go downtown? I mean, this morning I went down to the wharf. It's what an awesome place. Sorry, Corey. These guys are used. What an awesome place. I mean, the tide's out and all these boats are all sitting right there, right? Not even moving. They're not moving. They're just anchored right there. And they're useless. They're useless till the tide comes in and picks them up. Then everybody's happy and they go out. It's like us sometimes in churches. We're so settled in our church pews that we're kind of useless. Till we go out and we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the community. God showed me that this morning. And I'm an great philosopher, or whatever you call it. I'm just one of these ex-drug addicts. It's who I am. An ex-drug addict that loves Jesus Christ. And when I stop at a stop sign in Halifax, or if I stop at a stop sign in Moncton, or in St. John, New Brunswick, or in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia, wherever I go, if there's somebody that goes in front of my car, I pray for them. I said, Lord, you know them. I lift them up to you. That's it. That's what I do. Give me 2 more minutes. All right. And here's the reason why. I lived 20 years in Montreal. And I've been saved since 1978. So I'm a well-established Christian. I go to church every Sunday. Sunday school superintendent. I got all that stuff, right? But one day I was driving down St. Catherine Street in Montreal. And anybody know what I'm talking about, St. Catherine Street? Right, it's like Yonge Street in Toronto, right? I mean, there's a lot of activities going on there, and there's a lot of people there, and a lot of sin. I was driving down the street of Montreal in St. Catherine Street one day, and I seen all of these people walking around with the, you know, those big mohawks, right? I don't know if you see them here, but you know, you got the big mohawks, all different kind of colors, and the leather coats and studs all over them, and their faces are all full of studs. And you know, every time I stopped somewhere, some stupid guy came up and washed my windshield and wanted money. And you know, those creepy people. And I said, Lord, what are you doing with this scum of the earth? Get rid of this scum of the earth. These are useless people. Get rid of them. They're no good to us. They're a nuisance to us. God's Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of me and said, Remy, how dare you call my people scum? I die for all mankind. And this is my people. How dare you call my people scum? And I started to cry, and I says, Lord, forgive me. I says, Lord, if there's any time in the near future that I could help these kids off the streets, I am available.
And here I am at Teen Challenge. I was in the business world for 20 years. I went up the first four Costcos in Canada. I worked for a huge organization called FedEx for 15 years as a director. The money I had. But my heart was not right with God. Even though we went to church, even though I was a Sunday school superintendent, even though I was on the board of a church, that day God spoke to me and says, how dare you? You go out and you spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, here I am, Lord. Use me. I've been doing this for 6 years, and that's what it's all about. That's my message. I have a couple of messages. But here you go. Praise God. No, I got 5 minutes. No, it ain't good. Is it okay if we go on? No, 5 minutes over? Yeah? All right. When I ask for 5, I get 20, so I'm okay. Joking. You're all set? What are you waiting for, bro?
Well, I want to say good morning to everybody. Can you guys hear me at the back? I just want to say a special thanks to Trevor and his family for having us into their homes. Just thank you, Trevor, for sharing your story with me. It impacted my life. It touched me. And God is evident in your life, and it shows just through your words, through your eyes, Lord, or Trevor, and I just encourage you just to keep on going. And I just thank you. Thank you, Jeff, and the congregation and the family, just for having us here today. My name is Corey. I'm 28 years old, and I was born in Ingersoll, Ontario. I grew up with my mom because my parents separated, and this took place when I was 5 years old. The accounts based on my childhood are on what my mother has told me. Between the ages of 5 to 10, my father was in and out of my life. I love my father, but his addictions robbed me of a very significant role that I needed. I grew up fatherless, and this hurt in so many ways. In the midst of all this, my mom got married and had 2 other children. With this, I was hurt, felt rejected, and hated this new family. However, I did grow up in a Christian home and was well provided for. From the ages 10 to 14, I became angry, rebellious, and out of control. While living with my mom, I managed to see my dad from time to time. When I did visit, I was exposed to a life that would later consume me. Everybody was partying, and I joined in because my dad did not care what I did. I experienced 2 different lifestyles, and I chose the path of my father. Between the ages of 14 to 21, I left my mom's and began living a destructive life that caused a lot of pain both for my family and I. At this point, I dropped out of school, got mixed up with the wrong crowd, and was in and out of the prison system. My life became a nightmare because I was in bondage and a slave to sin. Between the ages of 21 to 28, my life continued to spiral out of control. I tried cocaine, which led me down a road for 8 years of chaos. I sought and tried treatment, but failed because I still never hit rock bottom. In 2005, I was hospitalized for a cocaine overdose. I got saved shortly after my release, but continued to struggle with life and addiction. Then my son was born June 15th, 2007. I love my son, but life continues still to fall apart. May 2011, my son's mother kicked me out and went to court for custody, which she got. I began to use opiates and quickly became addicted. This consumed me to the point where nothing mattered but the needle. It sucked every piece of life and hope out of me, and life or death no longer mattered. I took whatever steps needed to get my opiate fix, and that's when the law caught up to me. November 2011, I was being watched and investigated for majority of the crime activity that was taking place in my town. I got arrested and ended up in court December 13th. Instead of jail, the judge gave me grace and allowed me to come allowed me to come to a place called Teen Challenge. So December 14th, at 1 o'clock in the morning, my plane landed in Moncton. I was greeted with a warm welcome by our director, Remy. I was escorted to the Teen Challenge facility in Memram Cook, which is located in a peaceful and quiet place. This is where I detoxed. I was 150 pounds, sweating, aching, and going through hot and cold stages, along with restless legs. I never slept for the first 5 nights, and the withdrawal was horrific. The good news is that by the grace of God, I stand before you a changed man. Since being here, I've rededicated my life back to Christ. I feel physically, mentally, and spiritually healthy. This 12-month discipleship program is teaching me how to be a godly father and a godly man. I live in a loving, accepting, and structured environment where a solid foundation is now being built. This program is tough, and leaving seems very tempting some days, but that's the time to grow and to really seek God. The relationship with my family and son are slowly being restored. My goal is to take one day at a time, focusing on the positive things and relying on God for everything. Please pray for my healing, for healing and courage to face the giants. I'd like to leave you with a scripture, and if it's okay, Remy, I'd just like to say one other thing on top of that. It is Psalms 40, 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog. He set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And I've never shared this at all in my testimony, which is I hope is okay. And I just, because you know I've been at Teen Challenge Saskatchewan. This is my 6th attempt at Teen Challenge. I've been across Canada. And the reason I never graduated like just finished the program, what I had fear in is this moment. When I came to these moments, I chose to leave the program. I was scared to get up in front of people. I was scared to tell my story. And by the grace of God, I finally faced that fear, and I stand before you, and every day God gives me strength, as it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I just want to let you know that I've cared what people thought of me too long, and now I just want to stand up, and I just want to share what God's done in my life. And I thank you, and God bless.
Thank you. That's what it's all about. People's lives being changed and transformed in the inside out. We don't have to be a drug addict or an alcoholic to be changed. You got to be who we are, and God comes into our lives and changes us. Now I do the thing. I have to do something that I really hate to do, and that's ask people for money. I'm serious. I'm serious, people.
That's the worst part of my job. And the guys know that. But when you came in today, you were handed one of these. Anybody never got one of these? If you want, if you didn't, can you raise up your hand and make sure you get one? And Corey, and it's very simple. Number one, I am not here to take any money away from your tithes and your offerings. That is your priority. That belongs to this church. I don't want any of that money. If you're supporting a mission field up in Ukraine or in Japan or in Haiti, I don't want any of that money either. That belongs there. If you're supporting a local mission here in your hometown and your home community, I don't want any of that money either. If you're supporting the Breast Cancer Association down the road, I don't want that money either. But if God is speaking to you this morning to help us financially, please do so. And if you can't help us financially, there's one thing that you could do, and it doesn't cost you a penny, and that is prayer. We need prayer. Number one, we need prayer. Because God takes care of everything else. But you know why? Because we serve this awesome God that hears your prayers and answers your prayers. Because he's changing people's lives today. If you could change a life like Steve and Corey, he could change anyone's lives. If you could change these people's lives, he could supply beef for me. He could supply eggs for me. He could supply chicken for me. I have no worries about that because I serve this awesome God that loves his people. And it's very simple. If you want to help us financially, we'll have an offering after. And if you want a tax receipt, any $20 and above that we receive from you this morning, if you want a tax receipt at the end of the year, you'll have to fill out one of these little pamphlets or give us the address and so forth. So we'll send you the tax receipt. If you go write us a check, you write the check to Teen Challenge and the amount there, and we're okay with that. There's another way you could help us. You sponsor a student. And that's very simple. It's like almost like the World Vision. You sponsor a student for $35 a month, which is about $1.06 a day, which is less than the medium double-double at Tim Hortons or at D&D down the road here. All right, so if you're drinking 4 cups of coffee a day, bring it down to 3 cups of coffee a day. Put a loonie in the cup, and by doing that, you help change a young man's life. If you're drinking 26 cups of coffee a day at Tim Hortons, you're addicted, man. I have a bed for you at Teen Challenge. And I have fun, man. And if you do a sponsor a student, you have a card of the sponsor, a student that you're sponsoring with his testimony, you have a quarterly report on the guide that you're doing, and the great thing is that when he's graduating, you have a special invitation to come at his graduation, where you could meet your student and hug him, and you could send him some cards. You could send him some Tim Horton cards, some encouraging words. You know, you could send whatever you want to him, but he will not answer back to you because we got to make sure of confidentiality. Right? If you're sending some cards to him and he has your home address and all of a sudden he decides to leave the program after 7 months, I don't want him to come knock on your door and say, hey, I'm Fred from Teen Challenge. Remember me? There's confidentiality there. But if you do sponsor a student and you go to a church somewhere and your student is there, you got out to go and hug him and say, hey, bro, I'm still keeping you in prayer and so forth and so forth. And then there's another way you could help us is if you have a car at home, truck, boat. You know, we come and pick it up and we give you a tax receipt at the market value at the end of the year. And we bring it to the month and we sell it out at the auction. And whatever money we receive here goes direct to Teen Challenge. Every penny we receive this morning here stays in Teen Challenge Atlantic. It doesn't go anywhere else. And I have a table back there. I have some brochures and books and so forth. I have the book here, The Crossing the Switchblade, which is a whole story about Teen Challenge written by David Wilkerson. They're free. Everything we got back there is free. All we need is to make sure you fill up a little note there so we have inventory on these because these cost us money, but we like to give them out to the people. And I met a young lady. She's a pastor now, but she went to a university a month and many years back, and she was a non-Christian. She went there, and she was struggling with life, and somebody gave her the book, The Crossing the Switchblade. She started reading it on Friday night, and Monday morning she was all done reading the book. She walked directly off the campus of a university a month and went directly to Bible college, and now she's a pastor. So if you have sons and daughters and grandchildren, you know, that needs a book like this, we'd love to give you one. And also, I'm all done. I just want to say, if there's parents here this morning that has kids, and if you have grandparents that have grandchildren that are involved with drugs and alcohol, I'm here to tell you it's not your fault. Don't blame yourself for it. We bring our children and our grandchildren in a Christian home as much sure knowledge. And when they get to a certain age, they make their decisions. There's a lot of peer pressure out there. So don't blame yourself. What you have to continue doing is continue praying for them. And God will grab a hold of them and change them. And if you have anybody like that, and we'll take their names down, we'll bring it to the chapel at Teen Challenge, and we pray for them every morning. And we'll wait to see God grab a hold of them and change them. Teen Challenge, phenomenal program. It's a tough program. And they have between 25 to 35 hours a week of Christian education.
That's the whole priority there. It's to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and let God do the changes. And again, I just want to say thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come here this morning and to tell you about the great thing that God is doing in people's lives. And please accept my apologies for taking over the time. There's so many things we could say. Pastor Jeff, you know that. There's so many things. So again, thank you and God bless. Pastor Jeff, we're not going to show that DVD. It's going to take too much time. So thank you and God bless.
As Remy mentioned, that if you would like to make a contribution to Teen Challenge, you can do so. We're going to take our offering this morning. We've just left it to the end purposely for this reason. So we're just going to take our regular offering for our church needs, and then if you would like to make that contribution, you can put that right in there too, and that'll be forwarded to these guys before they leave. So if we can have our gentlemen come up, and we'll receive our offering this morning. And let's just pray together. Father, once again, we're just so grateful, God, for the fact that we've been here this morning, Lord, to hear these wonderful testimonies of what you've done, Lord, in their lives. And we just ask, God, that you continue, Lord, to work in the lives of men and women, Lord, as they will recognize, God, their need and turn to you in faith. And we just ask, God, your blessing on each one. We just ask, God, that in a special way, Lord, that you would just provide in every way for this wonderful program. And, Lord, continue, Lord, to help them, Lord, to go forward and reach out to these lives, Lord, that so desperately need you. And we thank you, God, today that you are so great and awesome. Lord, you're the one who provides everything that we have need of. Help us, Lord, to be generous stewards, Lord, of all that you've blessed us with. And so, God, we ask your blessing on these gifts and these offerings now. In Jesus' name, amen.